Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson, and this is another analysis and commentary of Why People Cheat in Relationships. These analysis and commentaries are all about the ideas, inspiration, and backstories for the articles that you hopefully love, or at least love enough to click on this thing and not unclick it or not change web pages or whatever. If you do like the articles, then I encourage you to check out more of the audios on the site because I like to give a little bit more information and talk about where a lot of the research and ideas come from. Because believe it or not, I'm not smart enough to come up with all this stuff. In fact, most of it is kind of just repurposed from other sources that I've found over the years or other people I've talked to. This one, though, is I guess kind of a Mark original. The whole cheating thing, it's another reader question inspired post. I get tons and tons and tons of emails from readers looking for advice. A large percentage of those are relationship related emails, and a large percentage of the relationship related emails are involve cheating or people being unfaithful or breaking trust or whatever. And the question just kept coming up: why? Why did he do this? Why did she do that? Why did he cheat? Why did she leave me? And I've struggled with it. I struggle with reader emails in general. I used to try to answer all of them years ago, back when it was manageable. Now I actually answer very few of them. There's two reasons for that. One is, simple time constraints. There's too many emails and I have too little free time, so they get deprioritized and often just go unanswered. But the second reason is just I don't feel comfortable answering people's personal questions. I don't see myself as much of an authority. I don't see myself as much of like a guide or a coach. And so and there's so little that can actually be communicated through an email thread. You know, back when I would try to answer a lot of emails, a lot of my responses to relationship related questions was just like, I honestly can't tell you without meeting your partner, without meeting you, without, seeing what your day to day is like, what your personalities are like, what your values are like, what your history is like. It's so hard to make any sort of like kind of concrete judgments or observations. So I just shy away from it in general. Almost all relationship-related questions at this point go unanswered for the simple reason that I don't feel comfortable with such limited information. And at this point, there's so many relationship articles on the site that I feel like I shouldn't have to be answering some of these anymore. So anyway, this one was written as kind of a reference post for a lot of these emails. And what I tried to do in this post is just boil down what I think the primary principles and concepts are behind unfaithfulness or people breaking trust with one another in relationships. And I tend to see behavior. It's funny, I don't believe that people are rational. I believe people are irrational, but I believe that our behavior is really just a function of us kind of weighing the costs and benefits of certain actions. And the thing is that those costs and benefits are often very subjective and subjective, like very irrational perspectives or irrational beliefs. And I think in the case of people cheating, you know, you run into these two categories of people. One is people who are just extremely selfish, or the other is that people, and the people who cheat because they're selfish, that's a problem primarily with themselves. The other problem tends to be with, people who grow to feel very entitled, and unfulfilled with the relationship. They take their partner for granted. They see their partner as a privilege, not, you know, something to be appreciated or worked for consistently. the first scenario, and of course these two things aren't mutually exclusive. A lot of times both are going off, are going on in the same time. The first situation, the selfishness, the narcissism and whatnot, you know, that's primarily just like, that is a shitty person. You are dating a shitty person. You cannot fix them. In fact, wanting to fix them usually contributes to the problem more than it helps it. And you just picked very poorly who you decided to fall in love with. And if you find yourself consistently falling in love with these types of people, then that really says something about you and a lot of emotional work that you need to do on yourself. There's another article on the site called, Why Everybody You Date Is a Psycho, I think is what it's called. If you go to markmanson.net/psycho, you should pull it up. That's a good starting place for kind of what I'm talking about there. The second one is more complicated because it's usually indicative of a combination of a couple things. One is, a partner who is very enabling to the other one. So, if you're like a doormat in your relationship and you never stand up for yourself, you never voice your own needs, you never, demand any sacrifices out of your partner, if you're constantly giving yourself without ever asking for anything in return, then paradoxically what you do is you enable your partner to basically never be accountable to you and to never fear any repercussions from you. And it actually drives your partner away because ultimately I think as humans, we don't want to date or be in a relationship with somebody who pleases us all the time. We want to be in a relationship with somebody who we feel is an equal to ourselves. That's why it's called a partner. Like there's an equality implied in a relationship. And so if one person is constantly giving themselves up for the other, then that is going to create a dynamic where one person is just going to, whether consciously or unconsciously, I mean, a lot of people cheat. It sounds weird to say this, but a lot of people cheat with good intentions. Like they don't mean to. They're just unhappy themselves. They feel isolated and alone. And a lot of times it comes from these dynamics, which is created from a partner that demands no accountability, that doesn't step up and be an equal. And so the cheating is, in those cases, the cheating is often just a manifestation of a relationship that's already broken. I mean, you can kind of say that in general. I mean, cheating in general is kind of just a manifestation of a relationship that's broken or a person within the relationship that is emotionally broken. You know, there's no such thing as a healthy relationship where people cheat. Like, you know, unless there's like some extreme substances going on, or mind-altering chemicals going on or mental illness going on. Like there, nobody who's happy and healthy and wildly in love with their partner and sober ever just kind of like accidentally, sticks their woo-woo into somebody's wee-wee or whatever. So I guess I tried to get all that across in this article. This article did okay. It's not my favorite relationship article. I just my personality in general is I like to generally focus more on kind of like concepts and principles. I don't like to give concrete, you know, oh, if he cheated, it's because of one of these three reasons and you need to follow XYZ to fix your relationship. Like, I hate that stuff. I don't think it works. So I just avoid doing it. The article performed okay. It's funny. There was a joke in here. I started out with Genghis Khan, mainly because I think Genghis Khan's super interesting. And I thought it was kind of a very bizarre and strange but funny lead-in to the article. What happens a lot with articles like this that I kind of write more, I don't want to say out of obligation, but it's like articles like this are primarily inspired by the utility they have for the readership and less inspired by like my own interests or my own excitement or what's going on in my own life. And so a lot of times in articles like this, I kind of try to find ways to make them more interesting for myself or more fun for myself. And the Genghis Khan thing was definitely a big part of that. I intentionally put a joke in there, or kind of making light of like Genghis Khan's massacres and mass rape. And then I kept it in there, even though people complained. And there's a funny reason for that. For some reason, over the course of like 2014 and early 2015, I kind of amassed a lot of, how do I put this nicely? Really annoying, politically correct, like super, super left-wing people. I guess it's because I wrote some articles on consent early on, and they got passed around within these circles. But I mean, and look, I consider myself to be fairly progressive. I'm all about consent. I'm all about, you know, promoting equality and tolerance and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think a lot of these people, it kind of turns into like a religious cult for them, and they want to like, and they, I guess they have nothing else going on in their lives. So they suddenly see themselves as being like the culture police for everybody else on the planet. So starting in like late 2014 and early 2015, every article I would put up, I would get nitpicky complaints about really, really stupid stuff. Like I would get emails. I would write a relationship article, and I would use two examples where a woman was hurt by her boyfriend, and I would use three examples where a boyfriend was hurt by his girlfriend, and I would get angry emails saying that this is like unequal and it's like disparaging towards women and all this shit. And come on. Like, and look, I'll admit there have been times over the years where I've stepped over a line or kind of put my foot in my mouth. Like I have been, I mean, my sense of humor is kind of extreme. So I have certainly, said some things that were not really in good taste, and readers have pointed that out, and I've gone back and changed it. But a lot of these emails I started getting, like, I just kind of couldn't believe it. And the thing was too, is just like how condescending they were. So, I have this weird thing where with my readership, where when I find myself, being read by a lot of people that I don't want them to be reading me because they start emailing me all the time and think I'm their friend. And I'm like, wow, why are you here? I kind of intentionally do something to piss them off. I did it with the article about The Secret, to scare off all the woo-woo new age people. And so the joke about Genghis Khan and rape, it was intentionally put in here to piss off all these like social justice warrior types who think that, you know, there's just like not enough YouTube videos about menstruation or whatever, like just to get them to go away. Cause like I'm sick of it. Like I don't want to deal with them anymore. And it worked. I got a lot of complaints and, you know, kind of just ignored them and told them to fuck off, and they all stopped reading. So, you might see stuff like that occasionally. I mean, most of you probably won't notice it, probably because you actually have a sense of humor and, you know what sarcasm is. But, yeah, it's been an interesting struggle for me as my popularity has grown over the years, is dealing with, for whatever reason, you know, one particular article will be very successful and I'll get this influx of a certain type of reader that, I really don't feel comfortable engaging on my side. For whatever reason, they think I'm like one of them. And so I make a point to kind of get rid of them. This happened actually years ago, to the opposite side of the spectrum. There was a time when, there's this whole subculture of men, that's called like the manosphere or the red pill. And it's basically men who like think that the biggest problem in the world is feminism. They want everything to go back to like the 1950s where men were in charge of everything, and they believe that women are like inherently irrational. And anyway, they have like all these like really twisted sexist beliefs. And anyway, like I wrote an article geared towards men, and I actually have a book geared towards men. And it became, for whatever reason, like 3-4 years ago, it became very popular around those groups, and they all thought I was one of them. And so I started receiving all these emails from people who are like, you know, yeah, women, they're just not as capable as men are. They, they shouldn't be as educated. We waste too much money on educating them and like stuff like that. And I was just like, God, get out of here. Like, get away from me. And so I wrote a bunch of articles about consent and how women are equals and how they should be treated with respect. And all those guys went away. So it's kind of just this never-ending process of expanding my audience and then honing in on the people that I want to focus on. And because, you know, I have my views and my message, and I care deeply about it. And I do want constructive feedback and criticism, but I don't want to have to deal with these subcultures that have this very like cultish mentality and very extreme ideologies who are gonna like, you know, email me and act like I just killed somebody's child because you know, I didn't use the proper pronoun when referring to a transgender person or whatever. Like, okay, I get that these are issues, but like, let's fucking calm down. So yeah, I guess that's a very long tangent about a single footnote, but that's kind of what's been going on. And if you ever wonder what some of the issues that come with having a blog that's read by millions of people, that's one of them. Is you're constantly thinking of how do I expand my audience, and then once it expands, you're like, oh, how do I get rid of these really obnoxious people who send me angry emails and think I'm Satan. So yeah, there you go. There's a little peek behind the scenes for you. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the article, and I hope your partner doesn't cheat on you, and I hope you don't cheat on your partner. So there you go.